Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and ways to go within to discover your true self. Today I am most delighted to welcome D.D. Marks, author of Beyond Believing, and as the title suggests, when we take ourselves out of our comfort zone and beliefs, we can truly begin to know that experience of love and eternal life are not only possible, but a reality. Hello, Dee Dee, and thank you for joining us on Healing From Within.
Hi, very excited to be here.
Dee Dee, as listeners of this show are well aware, my guests and I share our experiences of an awakening process, healing practices, and reaching states of higher consciousness, along with a greater view of universal energy and the many multiple ways to experience our energetic essence or our soul presence, and also our dual nature living in a physical world, because we really want to learn the truth about the universe, personal growth, evolution, and how to live and realize our greatest potential. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Dee Dee will share a romantic story that shows there's no such thing as coincidence. Dee Dee regards this book as a love letter to friendship written in memory of her best friend, Dan. Dee Dee, I always ask my guests to think back to their childhood to remember any incident, person, or place, idea, or value that was meaningful to them and may have been a clue to revealing the values and work and relationships and the life that is important to them now as an adult. In other words, I think within the child is already the promise of the adult that will emerge.
Yeah, that's a really good starting point. So I think, you know, I grew up in the 70s and it was all about outdoor play and neighbors and friends and gatherings. And I think that, you know, I was surrounded by a great family and wonderful parents that provided a great life for me and were rich in their faith and had us, I was raised Catholic, so we were very involved in our church. But I also had a bunch of neighborhood friends and, you know, some were of different faiths, but we all got along. And I think that, you know, I just really enjoyed, you know, my immediate environment, and it just helped me grow as a person. And I was always somewhat social. So I think that I got a lot of energy and love from the people around me, and that has just kind of grown with me as I've grown into an adult. So I don't think it was any one specific thing. I think it was just my connection to people in general.
Absolutely. And in your book, you say that when your parents went to teacher conferences, they would hear the words, "Oh, she's a little too social." Now, excessive friendliness and joy in experiencing life is not always an educational goal for teachers or perhaps many introverted adults. But I think that awe and joy in life should never be extinguished or diminished. So I laughed when I read that in your book, because you say this is the fuel that fills your tank, you know, and and it fills my tank also. And nobody can take any part of our soul or our energy away from us unless we allow them, and we certainly won't do that. So when did you decide to become a writer? Tell us something about your education and your early life and what made you decide to be a writer.
Sure. So, you know, growing up, I went to college at the University of Dayton, and I was a communication major. So a lot of my education was built around public relations and marketing, and I had to do a lot of papers, a lot of research, things like that. So it required me to do a lot of writing, which seemed to come very naturally to me. You know, family and friends had always told me, you know, I was a good storyteller, so that translated well on paper as I was writing, you know, different papers for different subjects. And, you know, it was something I always excelled in versus, you know, math and sciences and things like that. I definitely have more of a creative mind than a, you know, math and all that good stuff. So I graduated, and the market was not great, so I just did what everyone else was doing, and I went out and got a job, and that job led to another job, and so on and so forth. But I never really envisioned myself as a career woman, per se. It was just kind of the circumstance I was in, and I wanted to have a certain lifestyle, so I just kept, you know, kind of moving up. I wasn't interested in becoming, you know, like a title or anything like that. I was just interested in making a certain income to support the lifestyle that I wanted to live. And it was only a few years ago that I found myself without a job unexpectedly. And, you know, I had hit kind of midlife and just really realized, like, how unhappy I was and how unfulfilled I was in that position. And it wasn't something that was driving me to get out of bed every day. So I just kind of did some soul searching and really looked deep within myself and said, you know, kind of what is it that I've been put on this planet to do? And I decided to write a book. And,
well,
you know,
yeah, Dee Dee, that's exactly why that experience had to unfold, so you can get on, could get
yes.
on with what you really wanted to do and what you were really
Absolutely.
Born to do, your destiny. Yeah, there's nothing in life that's random. There are no
yes.
coincidences, and we're being led and guided by these experiences to really find what is within us. You know, the purpose and destiny of why we came to have a physical life. You know, it's funny, but I have a coincidence with you. And my first book was like,
yeah.
no coincidence at all. But when I was in high school, I tried to write some poems, and I actually liked to write, and I actually mm-hmm. liked to daydream, and I actually liked to help people, and I liked to be very social. Right?
Uh-huh.
But
yeah.
but now, after writing and publishing two books and working on a third, I've come to realize that from the beginning, you and I had a story hidden in our inner or
yes.
subconscious being that had to be expressed someday in some way, and it just has to be the right time. And in my book...
Absolutely.
Yeah, in my book, The Living Spirit, I sort of expressed it this way. I have found that as I work to expand my understanding of energy and myself, Spirit bequeaths new spiritual gifts and skills that I may incorporate into my work. It has become
mm-hmm.
clear to me that the more I work with the healing energies surrounding me, the more defined my abilities and work become. Constant effort is the only means to develop personal power. So
yep.
that's what we're here to do, to discover what makes life sing like a song, what brings us joy, and to serve ourselves and the world with the best version of ourselves. So, Dee Dee, do you feel that perhaps these many friends and experiences are part of your own divine learning curve and souls you may know from perhaps other times and places?
I was just kind of going through the motions of life and living in the confines of what I felt like society had defined for me, that I should get up and go to work every day and do all these things. And it wasn't until, you know, I kind of got backed into this corner and I was trying to fight my way out. I was trying to be proactive and look for another job, and just no doors were opening for me. And it was just really, really frustrating. And now that I've had this breakthrough, I'm convinced that I had to go to such a deep, dark place to be so unhappy, because I'm in general a very happy, uplifted, you know, person. And, you know, I'm not very negative. So this was bringing me down so much that I think that the people that were getting me from beyond knew that I had to be in such a deep, dark place to make a major shift in my life, to focus on something that I had more control of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly where the birth of the book came from. And as soon as I started putting energy towards it, it was amazing the doors that started to open for me and the things that started to unravel. And it was like, wow, this is exactly why I went through what I went through, because I would never have gotten here, and I couldn't be happier that I'm here now.
Yeah,
you know,
in life we take twists and turns, and sometimes we veer off our true path. And by getting more into alignment with universal energy, by asking questions and help of spirit and mm-hmm. people, and people right here in our lives. We begin to get back in tune with
yep.
with ourselves, and that's what you did, and that's
yep.
great. Now, you also wrote about some very interesting characters in your book. You want to tell us about
yes.
some of your friends and,
sure.
and how their life experiences have impacted on you?
Sure. So, you know, I talked about this concept of wanting to write a book, but I really never knew what the story was going to be about, and then it just became more and more clear. And I had lost my best friend in a car accident when we were 23 years old, and it was, you know, I'd gone through the loss of grandparents and great aunts and uncles and things, so I had been exposed to death, but I'd never lost anybody close to me, and it was a complete tragedy, you know, like the rug was ripped out from underneath me, and I mean, I just have never experienced any kind of pain like that where, you know, this, he had his whole life ahead of him, and he was just taken from us, and I didn't know how to make sense of it, and so, you know, part of me put all this energy towards keeping his memory alive and making sure our friends were even closer and things like that, and then it was probably at the about the 20-year mark that he had been gone that this book came about, and I was like, you know what, like, I have been living this, keeping his memory alive for 20 years, and I want people to understand what it was about him that I love so much and why I miss him so much, and I want to share him with the world. So I really started writing the book about the story of our friendship and why it was so important and how it was so impactful when it ended and how it's now still a wonderful, eternal friendship that has grown leaps and bounds beyond the physical world. And he is my spirit guide and helps me, you know, every day.
Yeah, so you talk, you express feelings to him. And you get
yes.
answers from him. Now, I'm a medium, so I do readings for people, and I get a great
oh.
deal of information to help them validate their own feelings. Now, you may just personally be connected to him and sense it, but everyone is able to communicate with those souls in spirit. If they only put aside their beliefs about it and their fears about it and open up to the possibilities, I started this work, this medium work, 20 years ago. But I was
okay.
born with that ability. I was a very sensitive child, very sensitive to changes in people's emotions and in the environment
mm-hmm.
and energy. Now, we're talking about Dan as now an energy being who is still part
mm-hmm.
of your life because nobody's ever gone. They just never leave. They are still around
yep.
us. And anytime we want to feel close, we just have to think of them, and they will support us. They will love us. They cannot change our own destiny because we have a plan
right.
to go through, but they will always be there for us. Now, sometimes people say to me, well, you know, I don't want the message from them. I just want to pick up the phone and talk to them. You know, well, this is a
oh.
way of talking to them. It's just a little different. You have to be open to the clues that are coming in from them in many different ways. So
yes.
I think you experienced that heaven is not really a distant place, but is the energy of multiple places and all these beautiful souls who surround us in very close proximity. So I think
I
your book shows that you discovered that. So I like that a lot. Now, you also
you.
Told a story of a main character who developed breast cancer.
Yes.
A very dear friend of yours. Would you like to tell us something about that?
Sure. So, you know, the characters in my books, I wrote the book fictionally because I wanted to separate myself from my corporate life and have this other fictional life. And it also gave me some liberties to be able to embellish on some stories or change the way things ended or happened. And there is quite a bit of fiction in the book. But I also had another dear friend who lost a sister to breast cancer, and that's where I got the whole idea of having these two people that had left our world related to characters in my book, kind of leading these main characters still left here in the physical world. You know, they were living totally parallel lives, but totally on opposite sides of the world and had no idea about each other. And as they followed the signs and symbols, they were led to each other, and you figure out that they're being led to each other from their souls and loved ones from the other side. So it's really a book about, you know, trusting and having faith and listening to the signs and being open and aware, and, you know, why do certain doors close and other ones open, you know, but that's what's continuing to guide you down that path that's supposed to be your journey. So, you know, I kind of incorporated other people that I know that have gone through tragedies. I've included their stories in my book, too. So, you know, the book is funny, but it touches on some very serious topics, and it talks about death and how do you recover and how do you heal and, you know, how do you move on and find that next thing. And that's the journey of this book is, you know, I think the reader knows more than the characters know as they're going through it. They're seeing the signs and symbols that are leading them to the next step. And, you know, they eventually figure it out, which is a fun journey.
Well, it is my belief that there really is no death, that consciousness survives physical life. No one ever really leaves. They just have different destinies, and they need to be in different places for their own continuing journey. Life is a great experience, and that's all we're here to do, to share and experience each other in relationships and to gain more wisdom within our soul or our heart and have more love and compassion. You know, many years ago, people said to me, "You've changed so much, Cheryl. What happened to open up this awareness and to change your whole direction in life?" And I thought about it for a minute, and I have come to the conclusion that either it's a great loss or tragedy or great love that opens up the heart or soul to remember who we really are. We may have forgotten it somewhere along the line, or people may have given us ideas or beliefs to make us think that we shouldn't think about certain things as being reality, because to live in a physical world, we have to be very realistic, put aside the imagination and the trust and the faith, right, and grasp onto survival. But it's not about any of that. It's about truly encouraging yourself to be open and to grow and to think out of the box and not let anybody take away your personal power. And I think your book shows that. And my life and my journey and my experiences and all the people I've met along the way have learned that. And it's a great truth. And once you know that, there's no more fear and limitation. There is only possibilities and opportunities also. So let's go on to, as a writer, who do you think you draw your greatest inspiration from?
So it's interesting. I mean, I follow a lot of different authors, and, you know, when I read, typically I read to escape, you know, my own life, and I like to, you know, fall in love with a love story or good character. But one of the books that had the biggest impact on me was The Alchemist, which is about, you know, kind of a personal journey, and, you know, it's all about, you know, nobody can make the decisions for you, and it's about this shepherd that, like, gave up everything in his life to pursue his dream, and he left his village and his home and his comfort and everything in pursuit of this dream, and nobody supported him, and he ran into, you know, struggles along the way, but he eventually got there and knew what it was all about. So it's a very metaphorical book. It definitely was life-changing for me. I mean, it was when I read it that it had the most impact for me, and a friend that's a dear friend of mine actually had recommended it to me, and he knew at the time that it would speak to me in a way that would help me understand what I was looking for and how to tap into that within myself. And it was literally one of the catalysts that helped drive me to make the decision beyond, like you said, beyond fear. And because I didn't have any aspirations of what this book would look like or who would read it or whatever, I just started writing it, and it just kind of poured out of me. And, you know, I didn't have the limitation of a deadline or an editor or whatever. I just kind of wrote the book and was like, let me get the story out first, and then I'll figure out what I'm going to do with it. And it all came together. So it was just, you know, I'm glad that I didn't allow myself to think, you know, well, who am I and how can I write a book and who wants to read anything I have to say? And, you know, all those things that, you know, we all stand in our own ways.
Absolutely.
You know, and prevent ourselves from moving forward because of fear. And if you could get past that and really trust in, you know, what you're being led to, it can be such a wonderful thing.
Yeah, just trust in your desires and your goals and dreams, and you will receive the help to accomplish them. Because, you know, there's no thought we have that's not inspired by spirit. No great writer,
yes.
No great musician, no great politician. I don't know why I list politicians among them at the moment. But all of those that are inspired to lead and to be joyful and productive in life are inspired by spiritual influences. And I'm going to bring something very interesting in here right now. If you could bring back someone back in history, who would it be and why? Just any historical person.
My gosh. That's a really good question. I mean, I don't think it would be anybody. Well, I mean, maybe Jesus. I would love to see him in person. But I wouldn't even need it to be that grand. I would love to have it be my friend, you know, just to spend another night with him and, you know, ask him what it's like and...
What it's like beyond here. That would be great, yeah.
Yes, yeah. And to figure and be like, I know I'm not crazy. You can hear me, right? And this is you. You're the one who's guiding me. And, you know, even though we have trust and faith and hope, you know, you still doubt moments because it's not always crystal clear, but you always get back to the faith because something else reassures you that, yes, this is the right path and this is what you should be doing. And, so I think I would love to have him back, and it wouldn't be special probably for many other people than me and maybe his family, but I would love to pick his brain.
Well, let me go on to tell you something. As a medium connecting to universal information, I was told by one of my teachers that I could ask to connect to a historical figure or person if I had the need, but of course, I was simply doing readings for my clients and healing sessions, and I really wasn't sure how to do that, you know. But one day I was preparing for a show, and it was about Marilyn Monroe. And the book was very, very disturbing to me. She had a very challenging life and some pretty awful things that happened by people who proposed to love her but who didn't treat her very well. And I was crying. Right, and I was very distraught, and I didn't know how to express who she was in the show. So I went into a meditation, and then I was able to feel her loving energy, and she was very gentle and warm and optimistic, and she expressed to me that while she had had some challenges in her life, she had gratitude for so many opportunities she had. And in terms of love, she felt that the friendship that she shared with some of her actors, Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon, I believe it was the movie Do Blondes Have More Fun, was really valuable and memorable to her. Friendship more than her marriages or any other experiences. But she didn't discuss her passing or her troubled childhood or her marriages. Her thoughts were all positive and loving. So that's what I emphasized in the show. Not about the abuse and questionable facts about her death. I brought out the beauty of her love for life and her love for people. And that's the only time I have tried to tap into.
Wow.
You know, someone I
that's incredible.
Wasn't asked to tap into. So it was very, very powerful. And the author of the book, who was a doctor, who was writing the book from his her psychiatrist's journal, her psychiatrist, she had given a journal to her psychiatrist to hold for her. And he put it in a safe for many, many years. And then after he died, it went to this other doctor. And that's how he wrote the book. So whatever time truth comes out, and if we learn from it, and if we have greater compassion and love for ourselves and others, and understand what's possible, then something wonderful has really, really happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to thank
you. That's incredible.
Yeah, life is incredible. We're incredible. Everybody's incredible. I want to thank you, D.D. Marks, for sharing a story of friendship and perseverance and developing patience for life and waiting for life to unfold, not to be controlled or be what others would want you to be, and to find love and hope in search of the many meanings of your life experiences and the possibilities for exploring the world on your own terms, beyond societal constraints, beyond loss or disappointment, and always with great passion and trust in the universal plan. And in order to purchase this story of love lost and found beyond believing, go to ddmarx.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, I feel as D.D. Marks has opened her heart to friendship for those here in life and those out of body, she has expanded her view of the universal laws of energy that, when applied to our physical life experience, enable us to flow in alignment with the past, the present, and future, and accept with grace whatever loss or hardship we must experience without suffering. Some sadness, of course, but with appreciation for the growth we are able to attain at a soul level. D.D. discovered, as do all who journey on the path to enlightenment, that we are spiritual beings having a physical life, and consciousness survives physical death. And in the light of these miraculous truths, we really can discover our true eternal soul nature and our connection to the universe and to each other. D.D. and I would have you remember that friendship, kindness, and your own personal growth, creating the best version of yourself as you find happiness and joy in every moment of each day, are perhaps the reason each soul chooses a physical life. Remind yourself that it's not the goal or the future that you must focus on, but each precious moment, for those will be the memories you take with you into the next reality. And of course, you want it filled with the highest vibrations or emotions of love and trust and compassion and friendship, so you can begin to create the best life beyond this one. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear metaphysical thinkers, authors, and visionaries share their experiences and hopes for us all to awaken to our own greatest potential for love and infinite wisdom. Shows may also be heard on DreamVision7Radio.com and WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you.